And hello there. Welcome once again to another edition of Uncontainable, where we dig deep into the vaults of great archives of spiritual teaching to try to bring you little bite-sized pieces of encouragement. Now, everybody's been dealing with the lockdown and the COVID and the loss of those we love. And that's what this episode of Uncontainable will capture. Dr. David Jeremiah, Dr. Michael Youssef, and Dr. Ravi Zacharias all join us on this important edition of Uncontainable. Here's Dr. David Jeremiah.
It is tempting to believe that modern science has eliminated the fear of plague. But today we may be on the verge of the worst plagues the world has ever known. I am referring to plagues of bacteria that are fast becoming resistant to almost every drug and antibiotic. Even now they are called nightmare bacteria, and they presently stalk hospitals all over the world. Research is running at top speed to curb antibiotic resistance. These new germs contain genes that allow them to pass their resistance to other germs, spreading disease to apparently healthy people in the hospital, such as patients, doctors, or nurses, who in turn can act as silent carriers of illness, infecting others even if they don't become sick themselves. Satan and the Antichrist would like nothing better than to have a worldwide plague underway at the beginning of the tribulation to further his argument for a one-world government led by a benevolent, peace-loving dictator. Couldn't believe I wrote that. I'm not a prophet or the son of the prophet, but that's a pretty good description of what's happening. Just as Jesus said, the pestilence would arrive like birth pains. That's what will happen. That means that it will increase in frequency and intensity in the time leading up to his return. That means that at the end, as the end approaches, we should expect infectious disease outbreaks to occur more frequently, impact more people, and be more deadly. This is what the coronavirus threatens to do. This is what Jesus calls pestilence. So, is the coronavirus a sign of Jesus coming? Is this the pestilence Jesus is talking about? Probably not. It does not perfectly qualify as a prophetic sign. I could not stand here and say to you and have any confidence in saying it that this is the fulfillment of number 3 on Jesus' sign list of Matthew 24. But it surely is a picture of it, isn't it? It surely does remind us that such signs exist and such things will happen. So let me just turn the corner here for a little bit and say, while this may not be a sign of the future, it's a sign for today. And let me tell you what it teaches us. I've had more than my usual time to meditate on this because I've been at home all week, like many of you, and I've thought about this a great deal. What does this mean? What is this pandemic? What is it saying to us? What can we take away from this? What do we learn from this that will help us serve our Lord better, live better lives, be better people? And I have 5 or 6 things I want to tell you. Here's the first one. It teaches us the vulnerability of everyone. The vulnerability of everyone. According to most reports, the elderly and those with underlying health conditions are the most vulnerable to this virus. But as time has progressed, we have seen that everyone is vulnerable, including the celebrities we sometimes think are invincible. Entertainers Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson, Rachel Matthews, and Charlotte Lawrence are among those who have become infected with coronavirus. NBA stars Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Durant, and Marcus Smart, along with the coach of the NFL's New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton, are sick with this disease. Politicians Massouma Ebtekar, the vice president of Iran, Sophie Trudeau, the wife of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami, they all have coronavirus. Yesterday, we learned that a member of Vice President Mike Pence's staff now has the virus. In most cases, if you have enough money, you can protect yourself from things like this. What we have learned, however, is that money can buy you a test, but it can't buy you a cure. No matter who we are or what we do or how much money we have, we are all vulnerable to the super plagues. And this ought to humble us all. It ought to make us all realize how dependent upon God we really are. In many ways, I believe we have come to a good place. If you'll listen to this verse, maybe you'll agree with me. Here's what God says. Here's what the Bible says. This is 1 Peter 5:5. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Perhaps before this is over, we will be a nation on our knees. And if we are, we will be in a better place than when we entered this virus.
Certainly precious hope for us to hold on to. In the days in which sometimes encouragement and hope have seen in limited supply, Dr. Michael Youssef of Leading the Way picks up on the same idea where Dr. David Jeremiah just left off.
Did Jesus have something to say about the coronavirus or COVID-19? Well, not quite, but yes. Listen carefully. It's found in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. During his earthly time, he said, I tell you, no, they're not worse than any other sinners. They're not done something horrific. No, said, but unless you repent, you likewise shall perish. You know, in one sentence, our Lord Jesus summarized the entire Bible. You say, how come? Well, first of all, you have to understand, God is not the author of evil. God is not the author of evil. But evil came into the world when Adam and Eve surrendered the birthright of their stewardship of planet Earth to Satan. When Adam and Eve fell into Satan's deception, they lost the deeds to planet Earth. And then, at that moment, evil entered into the world. When Adam and Eve handed the property deeds of planet Earth to the devil, which was their stewardship, God handed it to them. And by their being deceived by the devil and disobeying God, they handed it to Satan. You see, before Adam and Eve were deceived, before they fell in Satan's deception, Satan had no power over the earth. Did you know that? He had no power over the earth. But when they fell in his deception, they gave him the power. They handed him the power. And from that time on, sin and suffering, disease and illness, viruses and germs, earthquakes and storms, tornadoes and hurricanes, floods and fires, death and suffering, all became the consequences of that surrender on the part of Adam and Eve. And from the time of Adam and Eve on, Satan has been having a free range, as it were, to cause illnesses, diseases, suffering of all kinds. And ultimately, his desire is to take many people with him into eternal suffering, which the Bible calls hell. But God provided a way out. God provided a way of escape. God provided the answer. God provided victory over sin and the grave. God provided a solution to suffering. And what is that answer? The answer that he left the glories of heaven and came to our earth, living an ordinary life, but without sin, dying on a cross and rising again. Why? So that he may retake what Adam and Eve have lost to Satan. So that he may arrest God's property deeds that Adam and Eve gave to Satan. So that Jesus may restore to all those who believe in him, all those who put their trust in him, all those who come under his power, all those who come under his authority, that he may give them power to conquer sin and the grave. And from the time of Jesus on, anyone who wants to have power over sin, power over suffering, power over death, can come to Jesus and receive grace. Not just in this lifetime, but forever and ever and ever, eternity in heaven with Jesus.
Dr. Michael Youssef, with one of the greatest hopes that we can use to pull ourselves not through just a pandemic, but maybe an intense battle with cancer. As we have now lost the great apologist, Ravi Zacharias, we are reminded that his greatest hope always was what was on the other side of his journey to meet his Savior.
If you were to read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, they are magnificent passages which the apostle reminds the Corinthian church of how much they have. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, that they have so much that the abundance is something that needed to be shared. You know, I was born and raised in India, and we weren't very rich. We were upper middle class family, and my dad, we had a comfortable living, had a decent home and had servants and all of that, but we weren't very rich. In fact, my parents never gave me any pocket money. I was, if I ever needed anything, I had to go to some of my buddies, and I picked my friends very carefully then. And many of these guys would take me to the movies and take me out. I never had any. My dad just didn't have enough to give us. And yet, when I go back now and I look at the surroundings, whether it's in the homes of servants or the jamadars, as we call them, the sweepers, which my mother always used to send. My suitcase was half full of things every time I went to India that my mother had packed for us to take to the jamadars, the sweeping community there that used to come and sweep our home and mop the floors and so on and so forth. When I look at the deprivation and the lack of so many day-to-day needs in homes and in lives, you and I are swimming in the lap of absolute luxury. You know, there are 700 million people living today below the line of poverty. Two-thirds of them are in the Asia-Pacific region. My daughter Naomi yesterday was in a home that I had asked her to go to, and she emailed me late last night and early this morning and just said, "Thanks for sending us there, Dad. Won't be the same again." We must take stock of how much we have. I know you do it, but it is a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that in this day and this age in which we live, we who live in the West, in North America, here in the United Kingdom, I actually found myself, there were days where I wished I were a little bit hungry because I saw something in a restaurant that I wanted to eat, but I was already too full. That's our life. That's our life. And so my family and I, as I'm sure many of you have done it, have made commitments that you're going to learn to live with less so that you can bless somebody's life with more. I am an apologist, and I want to be an apologist with a touch. And that's why we are where we are, and Wellspring International was formed. But you have options in your churches to do this, in organizations that you're in touch with that do this, whether it's Samaritan Purse or World Vision or whatever. The important thing is that you ask God what you can set aside out of your riches and forego very comfortably and reach out and touch the millions who are hurting. That may be the most powerful evangel to a world where there is a pain in every pew and there is a pain in every home. I believe the Lord would want us to look again at what he said when he said this: "He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoners. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Can you imagine when he read it in the synagogue, shut it, and said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Think of the poor and the needy and the prisoners, how they felt when they found out that's why he'd come.
Why he had come indeed, and the great hope that even as Ravi Zacharias and his life in this world edged away in those final few days, the great hope that he clung to was that Jesus was real, that his love was uncontainable, that his mercy and grace were uncontainable, that the truth of his reaching down to find us is uncontainable. That's why we delve into the uncontainable depths of all of his great teaching on this podcast, and we hope that you'll come back. Please subscribe on iTunes or on SoundCloud. and then search for new episodes of Uncontainable shortly. Special thanks to David Jeremiah and In Touch Ministries, Love Worth Finding, and Dr. Michael Youssef, Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, and, of course, the family of the late Ravi Zacharias as well. I'm Kevin McCullough. We look forward to being with you next time for more truth that is simply uncontainable.